This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ma ba'd. So after speaking about some of the other conditions for al-imama, to be an imam, the first is al-Islam. We mentioned al-Islam, that a Muslim has to lead the people in prayer. You can't have a non-Muslim, even if he's proficient, he knows how to read the Quran, and he knows the rulings, it's not permissible if he's not a Muslim. And any prayer behind him is not, that prayer is not valid. So we said Islam. What's the second one? Remember? Anyone remember the condition that we spoke about? What's another condition? The other condition is Al-Aql. What is Al-Aql? To be sane. In other words, you're not someone who knows what they're saying, and someone who is aware, someone who is not crazy. So that al-aql is someone who is sane. And that's the other condition. And the next condition that we spoke about was at-tahara. Remember, the imam has to be in a state of purity. It's not permissible to pray behind an imam who does not have wudu or is not in a state of purity. And if you know that that's the case, then you are not allowed to follow that person. So we said the imam has to be in a state of purity. And then we said also the next condition was that that person, the imam, has to be male. And unless it's all female, then of course the difference of opinion are what we covered in previous sessions. Otherwise, if there are men and women together, a woman is not allowed to lead the people in prayer. And if there's, of course, a woman is not allowed to lead all men in prayer also when it comes to the obligatory prayers. And that's something that is well known and established in the Sharia, in that there are many sahabiyat who were very, very knowledgeable. And when they used to pray with the congregation, they did not lead the people in prayer, even though they were people like Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the most knowledgeable amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wife, and she was also the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the next is the next condition that we are going to be speaking about is al-bulugh is someone who has reached the age of puberty. In Islam, puberty is not a number that a person, okay, you get 14, 13, 15, and so forth. As soon as a person reaches the age of puberty, even though there are differences of opinion amongst the scholars, and some of them said 14, 15, but sometimes when it comes to puberty, a person may reach the age of puberty a little bit later on or before, but it's generally around the teens, around that time. And how do you know if a person reaches the age of puberty? You know that by the changes in the person's body, the physiological changes in the person. So a person who has reached the age of puberty, they start to have hair growing, you know, armpit hair, and they also have hair that grows when, you know, for, you know, when a person reaches the age of puberty, like pubic hair. And you also see some other signs, like their voice starts to become deeper. Instead of having a child voice, you'll see that it starts to become deeper. And so that's, of course, that's very difficult to really, really determine. But, you know, like, for example, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defeated Banu Qurayza, and the judgment upon them was that all the men and of fighting age, right, they were to be executed. How do you know if it's a man or a boy? You look at the features, like the pubic hair or the hair, armpit hair, and those are the things that determine whether this person is has reached the age of puberty or not. And so when a person reaches the age of puberty, then all of the rulings of Islam become mandatory upon them. You know, like in America, you reach a certain age, you're able to drive, and some states have different age limits or age where a person has to reach. And of course, you know, they always mention alcohol, someone having to be able to reach the age, certain age. I know, like one time there was this person, he was standing in front of 7-Eleven, like at midnight. He's like literally standing in front of 7-Eleven at midnight. And he said, today, tomorrow is his birthday. So he's waiting for what time? He was waiting for him to turn 21. At exactly 12 o'clock, he enters and he tries to buy alcohol. Now, the time before he entered and the time after, is there anything changing in his body? All of a sudden, he became more wise? No. In Islam, it's not just a number. It's, the physiological changes when the person reaches the age of puberty. And that is, this is what we're talking about now. The scholars have differed over what is it permissible for a person to lead men a boy that hasn't reached the age of puberty, is it permissible for him to lead men or not? The Jumhur ulama, the majority of the scholars amongst the Hanafiyya, wal Malikiyya, wal Hanabila, okay, so the Hanafis, the Malikis, and the Hanbalis are of the opinion that it's not permissible. It's not permissible for a boy to lead men in obligatory prayers. And sunnah prayers, that's what we're talking about right now. What we're talking about is mandatory prayers. This is al-fariḍa, fara'id, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, jum'ah, for example. These are the mandatory prayers, not the sunnah prayers. Is it permissible? The majority of the scholars have said that it's not permissible. Not permissible. And amongst the madhahib that say it's permissible is the Shafi'i. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i and the Shafi'i madhab, they are of the opinion that it is permissible for a boy who hasn't reached the age of puberty. And of course all the conditions, the other conditions also have to be met. That a boy can lead men in prayer. And this is mentioned in Al-Imam al-Shafi'i's famous book, Kitab al-Umm, which he mentions that it's permissible, but it is not something that, even though he says it's permissible, فَإِنَّ الْأَوْلَىٰ أَلَّا يَأُمُّ إِلَّا الرَّجُلِ. It's permissible, but it's better that a person who leads the people in prayer be a man, not just a boy. And so even though there's something that's permissible, if you have someone who is a man or has reached the age of puberty, then they should be the ones who lead. Sometimes you don't have someone who has fulfilled all the conditions. Maybe to be able to lead the prayer, and the only one who's able to lead the prayer is a boy. So in a group of people, like maybe just in a family, let's say for example, you have a family that has accepted Islam, and the boy has accepted Islam before everyone else. Maybe he's hung around with the children and he says, he wants to be Muslim and he's been going to, Quran class and he learns Quran. And then his parents become Muslim, for example. And his parents, his mom and dad, maybe his family, now they have become Muslim. And the only person who knows the Quran is this boy. Right? In this case, would it be, should the man still lead the prayer, even though he, in this case, of course, the people who fulfill the conditions, of course, one of the conditions that we'll be speaking about, and there are other conditions also. Now, this case, is it permissible for someone to lead the prayer? That's normal. I mean, if the other people don't know how to even pray, right, who don't even know, so he can lead by default out of necessity, even if it's obligatory prayer out of necessity, because nobody else in the whole family fulfills those conditions. But let's say you have someone who is able to, but maybe knows less of the Quran, but the other person knows more, but they have fulfilled all the conditions. So then is it permissible for the boy to lead? Then here, the scholars are of the opinion that no, a boy should not lead the men in prayer if there's anyone in amongst the men who are able to. So if they just know enough to lead the people in prayer, if they fulfill all the conditions, then they should, if there's a boy. So this is where the difference of opinion is. Imam Shafi'i is of the opinion that it is permissible because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya ummul qawm aqra'uhum li kitabillah." Ya ummul qawm, let the people who lead be the one who knows the most Quran, most of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of Allah. So you have someone, let's say a group of people, all the men can lead. Right, they know at least Al-Fatiha, but the boy memorizes more of the Qur'an. So is he able to lead? Should he lead? And according to the Shafi'i scholars, in this case, if he leads the people, it's okay, it's permissible. But it's better for the other people to lead the people in prayer. But the ruling here is that it's permissible. But of course, according to the Hanafis and Malikis and Hanbalis, they say, no, it's not permissible. You can't let him lead the people in prayer. If it's a sunnah prayer, yes. So let's say, for example, they're praying Taraweeh prayer, which is a sunnah prayer. In this case, it's permissible, but we're talking about mandatory prayers. The other scholars, so what are the rulings, what are the conditions, and what are some of the evidences and proofs? Well, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ya ummul qawm aqra'uhum li kitabillah." This order and any order is by default, the obligation of that order is for who? It's for those, so for the mukallaf, for the one who is the one, any order in the verse of the Quran, ayats of prayer and so forth. Who is it directed towards? Is it directed towards children? Who is it truly directed towards, meaning made mandatory upon? Men, or you know, if you, it's for those who have reached the age of puberty. Do you understand? So any directions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unless it's specific for young people, it's the default is that it is for people of have reached the age of puberty, right? It's for adults. It's not for children. So if, let's say a child, a baby, a two-year-old, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam orders the people to pray, is he ordering that baby also? No, the baby is not being ordered to pray, right? The baby is not being ordered to pray directly because the baby doesn't have to pray. It's not mandatory. So the order, even in this Quran, in this hadith, the order is for men of the men in any order in usul al-fiqh. It is directed towards men who have reached the age of puberty. So they said that since this, all these orders are not directed towards him, then it's not permissible for that person to lead the people in prayer. And there's another hadith that the scholars or the Shafi'i scholars that have used to say that it is permissible. They have used to say that it is permissible. And that is hadith of Amr ibn Salama. And also the majority of the scholars have said, a young boy does not fully comprehend and understand. Just like one of the conditions of prayer, of being the imam, is someone has to be sane. They have to know, fully comprehend. They have to have that comprehension, al-aql. And a boy does not fully have the aql. He's not fully developed in terms of his aql. So he doesn't have the full capacity mentally to lead the people in prayer. And so that's why, those are some of the proofs and evidences to say that you have to have reached the age of puberty. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i uses a hadith as evidence, the hadith of Amr ibn Salama. And he said that his, remember that during the time in which people lead during the day or Yawm al-Fath, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Mecca, a lot of people became Muslim. A lot of people became Muslims. And there are some Muslims who, these are new Muslims. Many of them are new Muslims. And so Amr ibn Salama radiallahu anhu wa ardah, he said, my father, on the day of Fath, after you know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, after the people started accepting Islam, and of course there were the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to, you know, tell the people to, you know, to have the one who knows the most Quran lead the people in prayer. And he said, so this was a young boy. He says, and there was no one in the group that knew more of the Quran than me. Knew more of the Quran in his group, in his tribe, his clan, his family. So of course remember, there are people who accepted Islam first. And so they've been learning the Quran. And then now new Muslims are coming, and they're from the same family or same tribe, and they don't know as much of the Quran. So his father looks, and you know, he happens to be, and during that time he was 9 years of age, and he was only 9 years of age, and the people were looking around, like, who should lead us in prayer? And they found that the person who knows the most Quran was him. And he was only 9 years of age. And at nine, most boys don't reach the age of puberty yet. And so they looked back and forth, looked at him, and they had him lead the people in prayer. So this is, from this action, the Shafi'i scholar said it's permissible. And another thing is, one of the women who was praying in the group, she said, you know, let your imam tell him to cover himself properly. And because he was a boy, and you know, they used to wear the izar, the ma'wis, and you know, sometimes boys don't know how to wear them properly. Yeah, they're just like, they don't really care. So when they bend down, like, it reaches up, you know, it shows part of his aura. And so the woman in his family, the woman in the clan, the group, they said, why don't you guys need to tell your imam to cover himself properly at least, like to cover himself properly. And so this is from this, the Shafi'i scholars have said, see, he led the people in prayer, even though he did not reach the age of puberty. The majority of the scholars were of the opinion that this was an ijtihad from that group, from them, and it does not mean that it's correct, because this was not an order from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was their own ijtihad, and they said that this was their ijtihad is considered, and he is actually he's considered a tabi'i. This boy, he never met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, but he was he knew the Quran. He knew more of the Quran than the others. And so from this, some of the scholars, even the majority of the scholars, which are the Malikis, the Hanbalis, and the Hanafis, they said that this is not evidence. This is not evidence that a boy can lead the men in prayer, because look at the fact that he himself didn't know how to cover himself properly. And that in and of itself also, it indicates that it was from their ijtihad. And we consider that a mistake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And so what is the stronger opinion in here in this particular case? Allah knows best. It's the stronger opinion is, if you do have someone who knows more of the Qur'an, if it's the boy who knows more of the Qur'an, he can lead the people in sunnah prayers. But in mandatory prayers, if you do have anyone else, then he should lead the people in prayer. That you should not let a boy, someone who's young, who does not know, you know, maybe who hasn't reached the age of puberty, I'm talking about. Once they reach the age of puberty, for us, we might say, oh, what, you mean under 18? No. Someone maybe 10, 12 years old, he's already reached the age of puberty. 12, 13, around that age. But this boy, remember we said 9 years old, is pretty much right before puberty. Someone who is at nine usually is right before puberty. And so the stronger opinion here is that you should try to find a person the people who are to lead the people in prayer, they should be someone who has reached the age of, you know, at least puberty. And if they haven't reached the age of puberty, unless you don't have anyone else, you know, anyone else that actually has fulfilled those conditions, fulfilled all the conditions we mentioned, al-Islam, al-Aql, and, you know, just knowledge of how to lead the people in prayer. So that that brings us to the next, condition. And that next condition is that the scholars have mentioned that it is mandatory for a person to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. So Fatiha is mandatory. So if somebody is leading the people in prayer, he should at least recite Al-Fatiha correctly. He should read Al-Fatiha correctly. And there are two types of mistakes that a person can make. Some mistakes change the meaning of itself. Some mistakes are like actual, you know, makharij, the recitation of it. And so you have to look for someone who was able to recite, even if they should at least recite Surah Al-Fatiha correctly. And that's because the Prophet ﷺ specifically mentioned Surah Al-Fatiha. And that brings us to another issue, a question that came up recently. One of the brothers was asking, he said, you know, when I'm praying at home, meaning when I'm praying in my country, that when the Imam recites Al-Fatiha, everybody listens. And even afterwards, nobody recites Al-Fatiha. And he's from the Indian, one of the countries in the Indian subcontinent. Of course, they're Hanafis. And the Ahnaf, they're of the opinion that you don't have to recite Al-Fatiha. When you're praying behind the Imam, you don't recite at all. And of course, the majority of the people in Southeast Asia and Somalia are Shafi'is, right? And so a Shafi'i person who's following the Shafi'i madhab, even if the Imam recites, is reciting a next surah, he is going to be reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And that's from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Sunan al-Nasa'i, when the companions were reciting after him. What were they reciting? They were reciting everything after him. So like if the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, they would say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. They would recite and repeat after whatever he recited. And so the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turns around and he says, لَعَلَكُمْ تَقْرَعُونَ خَلْفِي. He said, maybe you guys recite after me, behind me. Right? And he said, لَا تَفْعَلُوا. He said, don't do it. Don't recite behind me. إِلَّا بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. Except for Al-Fatiha. Like the only thing you should be reciting is Al-Fatiha. And this is a hadith in Sunan Nasa'i that's graded to be acceptable by the majority of the scholars of hadith. And that's why they made the exception Surah Al-Fatiha. And of course, that's in the Shafi'i madhab. And then when you have people praying, you have some Shafi'i who's reciting, and the other person says, what are you doing? Why are you reciting afterwards? So is it permissible to recite? You should recite, actually. But don't recite to the point where you're bothering the next person, because there are some people, not only do they recite, and they bother the next person, I'm the Imam and I can hear them. And they're not even in the front row, they're in the back. Right? There are some people who recite, I'm the Imam, and even there in the back row, I can still hear them reciting Al-Fatiha. So if I can hear them, they're really reciting out loud. You should recite it so that you yourself can hear without bothering other people.
Some of them, they recite
Al-Fatiha
plus Surah.
Even in the Surah? Yeah. So anyways, Al-Fatiha is that which is mandatory. And that's because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La Salata. I mean, there's no prayer. That means no complete prayer. The prayer is not illa bi fatihatil kitab, except for with the Fatiha. If that means you have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La salata liman lam yaqra bi fatihatil kitab. La salata, a person will not have a prayer. There's no prayer for the one who does not recite the Fatiha til kitab. And so the recitation of Al-Fatiha is mandatory, and that means that the Imam who leads the people in prayer, he has to recite Surah Al-Fatiha correctly. You can't have someone who comes up and recites and switches letters. and recites the wrong letters, especially if you do have someone who recites. And if you, let's say, for example, sometimes when the imam doesn't show up, everybody's looking left, he's looking right, and if there's no one assigned, nobody wants to go up, and then the person who goes up doesn't know how to recite Al-Fatiha properly. If that's the case, if you know you feel like you're able to recite Al-Fatiha properly, then you go up. If you're afraid the other person who doesn't know how to recite Al-Fatiha, then just go up and lead the people in prayer. Go up and lead the prayer, if it doesn't cause any fitna. Because sometimes when the imam is not there, there's someone who's assigned, and if he's assigned to do so, that person who's assigned should also be someone who will be able to recite Al-Fatiha correctly. And so it's mandatory for the imam to recite. One of the conditions is to recite, of course, he should recite all of the Quran correctly. Recite the Quran correctly. But the minimum is, because it's mandatory, one of the rukun, one of the pillars amongst the pillars of a prayer is Surah Al-Fatiha, that it has to be recited, inshallah, correctly. So I just wanted to cover a few things in relation to some of the mistakes that people commonly make in Surah Al-Fatiha. Of course, there are a lot of mistakes that people make. We won't cover most of them, but we'll just cover some of the common ones that people generally make. And so Surah Al-Fatiha, of course, the Basmala itself, there's a difference of opinion about whether it's part of Al-Fatiha or not. In the Shafi'i Madhab, it is considered part of Al-Fatiha. Some of the other scholars are of the opinion, the majority are of the opinion, that it is a separate verse, not part of Al-Fatiha. And so if you consider it part of Al-Fatiha, then Bismillah has to be recited. Whether it's recited out loud or not, that's a different matter. That's a different issue that we'll cover later on, inshallah. So to start, you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. One of the common mistakes that people make when it comes to recitation of Al-Fatiha is, we will start with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Many people for some reason, instead of saying al, they say Alhamdulillah. The Hamza with the Fatha should be Alhamdulillah is, you're saying And so the same way with people making the adhan and saying Allah. See, there's Allah, Allah, right? Is muraqqaqa. In Arabic, you say that that's tarqiq. And then you say, is that mufakhama. That's the sound, right? The sound. So alif with a fatha is an muraqqaqa. So you say alham, not alham, and you say Allahu akbar, not Allahu akbar. Remember, some people say akbar, 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 ak. Is there a difference? Yeah. And also al. Is there a difference? Alhamdulillah, not alhamdulillah, al. So with the first mistake, people start already. Al-ha. Hamd, the ha and the ha, not alham, al-ha. Ha is also a letter that is, that's a ha sound, not a ha sound. So it's not alham, ha, ham, ham, ham. Some people recite alhamdulillah. It's not hamdulillah, it's ham, ha, ham, ham. Which one? Ham. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ra also is another letter that's considered muraq mufakhama when it has a fatha. Right? When it has a fatha or a dhamma, it's an sound. If it has a kasra, then it's an e sound. So that's muraqqaqa, and ah sound is mufakhama, right? So you say ra rabbil alamin, and many people are saying rab ra 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 rabbil alamin. It's not ra, not rabbil alamin, ra rab ah rab rabbil alamin. رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. Again, الرحمن is not correct. It's الرحمن. R. See the difference? Which one is it? It's الرحمن. الرحمن الرحيم. And not near رحيم, no. الرحمن الرحيم رحيم رحيم not رحيم. The first is رحمن, the second رحيم رحيم, and the, of course it's not ra. الرحمن no a a not a الرحمن الرح الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم مالك يوم الدين. Another mistake people make is the kaf. They exaggerate in the k sound. The ka, the hams on it from the beginning. Instead of saying ka, they say ka. So they say maliki, maliki yawm al-din. It's not maliki, maliki. Ka, ki, ku, ak, ak, ik, uk. So when you stop, there's a hums, but it starts with a ka, not ka. Why? Because in English, we don't have the K sound, or we don't have the kaf sound. We have the K sound. In American English, at least, you say king. You don't say king, right? King. You say king or you say king? In English, king or king? King. King, because that's ka, that's the K sound. So in Arabic, you have the kaf sound, it's more ka, king. Maliki, maliki yawmiddin. Yawm, yawm also fatha, ya, yawm. Yawm, some people they say they make it ya, yawm. So there's a difference here. Yawm, ya, yawm, 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 yawm. Yom, ya, yom. They say yawmiddin, right? Should be ya, yaw, yawmiddin, not yawm, yawmiddin. You see the difference? Yaw, 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 yaw. Is there a difference? Yeah. One is an aw sound with a ya, ya, yaw, ya, yawm, yawm, yaw. Maliki yawm al-din. Also, when you end, this is mad that has a sukoon, al-arad, which means that this is two sukoons that come together. You have the option to recite it two all the way to six, right? Maliki yawm al-din, or maliki yawm al-din, or maliki yawm al-din. And the only thing is you have to make it even, okay? Make it even. Another common mistake that people make is in the next verse. The next verse is Iyyaka na'budu. Iyya, that ya has a shadda. A shadda is like two ya's together. So each one has to be given its right. It's not Iyyaka na'budu, not Iyyaka. Because when you say Iyyaka, it is only what? Iyaka doesn't have the shadda. It's Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een. Iyaka, ya with the shadda, not just ya with a kasra and a fatha only. Iya, not iya. Iya, iya. So if you look at the mushaf, you'll see the little W on top of that. It's a shutdown. So yeah, some people are reciting iyyaka na'budu. They're not giving it. It's right. They're leaving out one letter. And because the shadda has two ya's and you're only reciting with one ya. You understand? So it's iyyaka na'budu na', and especially the ayn here, the noon. Noon, iyyaka na'budu, na is incorrect. Noon with a fatha is not iyyaka na'budu, na'budu, no. Ayn, na'budu. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ نَسْتَعِينَ and also the noon has a fatha, has a مُرَقَّقَ an asa, نَسْتَعِينَ. Next common mistake is ihdina sirat, not ihdina sirat. Do you understand? A kasra before the ha is ihu. So ihdina. You hear some people saying ihdina, yeah, it's not ih. Because you say yeah, that means you're making the kasra an ea sound. Yeah. It's not a ea u. Is it a ea u or a e u? A e e. Dinos, not eh. Dinos, eh. Dinos, and not nos. Na, nas, nas. There's nas. The next is sod. But not the noon, it should be muraqqaqa. Na, nas, not nas. Nas, nas. See, you say nas, 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 not nas. Many people are reciting ihdinas, nas, nas, sirat. No, ihdinas, sirat, sirat al-mustaqim. Not mustaqim, musta. Many people are reciting mustaqim, taqim. No, it's not ta, ta, atta. Mustaqim. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. So, sirat as-sad. Sira, not sirah. Many people are reciting sira in the hafs. It's the ra here is ra, not mufakhamah, not muraqqaqa. Okay. Sirat al-ladheen, sirat al-ladheena also, tal-la. The lam here, the only place where lam is mufakhamah is in lafzul jalala, in Allah. Not la here. Sirat al-la. Sirat al-lazina an'amta alayhim. Here also another common mistake is some people are saying alayhim. Alayhim. It's not an'amta alayhim, lay. What's the difference? Lay is when you're saying la, la, la. It's la, lay. Just like in the English word, like and lake. Like and lake. If I were to say, I like you. I like you. What does that mean? I like you. People are like, they might understand you, but it's not. You like me. You either like me or let's go swim in the lake. Right? What? Does it sound right? Or is it a totally different word? So if you're going to say, alayhim, like. If you're saying alayhim, it's like lake. Do you understand? Lake. Alayhim. Alayka. Alayka. So what is it? Alayhim, like, not lake. like lay, I lay him. No, it's not I lay him. Then lay, I lay him, lie, like in like, not lake. أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب غير غا is another letter that is considered مفخمة. It has a sound. The mistake that people are making, they're saying غير غير ال غير غير is غا not غا 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 no it's غا مفخمة غاي not غير ال غير ال not غير ال غير المغضوب is incorrect غير المغ not مغ ما مغضو الله one of the most difficult letters is الضاد. What is the ضاد? ضاد is a very unique letter in the Arabic language. الضاد in every single letter that you pronounce, it's straightforward. It's like on the road. It's right here. You know, if you look at the mouth, it's like straight. The Lord, Allah, also covers the sidewalks. So not only do you block the road, you also block the sidewalks. So that means your tongue is blocking the sidewalks also. So as a result of that blockage, your mouth, your cheeks will puff up. So you say if you say correctly, you're you see this thing pops up. Why? Because you block the sidewalks also. I mean, you block everything. It's a total blockage when you say This is another common mistake. Walad, because the lamb is مفرقق لا not ولا ولا الضالين ولا الضالين is incorrect ولا الضالين لا do you see the difference لا the correct is لا ولا الضال not ولا الضال ولا is incorrect. Why? Because you made the lamb mufakhama, but the lamb is not mufakhama. Lord is, but the lamb isn't. So when you say walab, and you're making a law sound, it should be la sound. There's a shadda on the lamb here, so give it its right. You don't say walabdalin. No, walabdalin. You see, there's a lamb there, and of course, when you end it, if you recite two on the rest at the end of each verses, then the other one should be two also. So just because it's the last verse does not mean you always make it six. Because some people, they recite everything too, and then all of a sudden at the end, well, six harakat, well, and then they go, lean. Also six, but even though they recited all the other ones four or two. So if you recited two or before, then you also have the same mud here that is at the end of the word, in the verse. Mud, al-ard al-sukun, this is the sukun that causes this mud. Should be two, so you make it the same also. Okay, so if you guys want to recite, we do sometimes, you know, I'm here usually on Thursdays and after prayer, after Maghrib prayer and so forth. If somebody wants to recite to me Al-Fatiha or any other Quran verses, they can do so. We have Quran here on the weekdays and also on Sundays in the morning, or Saturday morning after Fajr. For those who would like to attend, inshallah, we do recite verses and try to correct some of the common mistakes, just like I did with Al-Fatiha right now, even more with more detail. Right, this is just a quick run through over the common mistakes. Why? Because one of the conditions of imamah is you have to recite Al-Fatiha correctly. Right? You can't just say, you can't recite, you know, change letters and lead the people in prayer, because the recitation of Al-Fatiha correctly is one of the conditions for the validity of prayer and validity of imam, which we have imam. That you have to at least recite Surah Al-Fatiha correctly. And so, inshallah, next, I don't think, I keep on saying that I might not be here next week, but I'm waiting for some, just the paperwork came, just waiting for some things to settle. And inshallah, I'll be going to make Umrah in the next probably 2 weeks, for maybe 2 weeks or two, between 2 or 3 weeks, inshallah. And then we'll continue again. If I'm not here next week, inshallah, if you're in the WhatsApp group, inshallah, we'll keep you updated, inshallah, and posted. If we won't have any classes, inshallah. So with that, inshallah, we'll continue next week. Or if I'm here, or the next time that we meet again, inshallah, with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about prayer and lifting up from prayer and ruku and sujood and the continuation of bab, or Kitab al-Salat, Salah, Bab al-Imamah, the chapter on prayer, and the sub-chapter on being the imam, the conditions of the imam. And with that, inshallah, we'll end it. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Anyone have any questions? Yes.
My question is, Salat al-Fardiyah or Salat al-Jama'ah and Qira'at al-Fatiha. Al-Imam yaqra' al-Fatiha, wa ba'd al-Fatiha yaqra' al-Surah.
No.
For the Ma'mum, after he has read the Fatiha, he's supposed to read another Surah.
The only surah that you should be reciting, inshallah, is the Surah Al-Fatiha. The other recited, the other, you, after that you just listen to the imam, whatever he recites. That's
just
all.
The
yes, that's all.
Then
you listen, yeah.
Okay, when it's Duhur and
the
Asir,
everyone reads Al-Fatiha.
Read the Fatiha only.
No, and you recite another surah after Al-Fatiha in the first two rak'ahs. In the last two, you just recite Al-Fatiha only. So the first and second rak'ah, then you recite, and then you recite another surah. When the imam goes down, just stop wherever you are and join him. But you recite another surah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When I'm alone, the first two rak'ah, by the Fatiha, I will read the surah.
Yes.
Okay, when I am...
With the imam, you still do the same thing.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, when you're for Dhuhr and Asr, you do the same thing.
But the Maghrib, I recite.
Yes. The Maghrib, you don't read another surah because he's reciting, you're listening to him. Yes. Wallahu ta'ala. Any other questions? Okay, inshallah. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Sirat, they say Sirat with that. Instead of that, they say that. Or that.
Sirat al-Ladin.
Not
that,
but they say that.
Da. Yeah. Sirat al-Ladin. Yeah. I mean, that's a mistake. That's a mistake.
That's a big mistake.
It is considered a big mistake. Concerned.
That's right.
It is considered a big mistake, and that's why some of the scholars are very... very keen on finding the imam that actually leads to that, that can recite it correctly. If you have the option, you don't choose someone who recites it incorrectly. That's why the people who know the most Quran, meaning who knows how to, they memorize and also they recite it correctly. Because if you memorize a lot sometimes, but you don't know how to recite it correctly, then it's the correct recitation is mandatory.
And the correct. What happened to me was, I just came, it was a fajr.
from the north of the was there, the people of the masjid, and married with an Imam Sarah. So then this guy came, so we look at each other, and he went straight to the Mihrab.
Yeah, some people, yeah, that's why I said.
I have to repeat that.
No, you don't have to repeat, but next time when you see him like that,
yeah,
then you go and lead the prayer. Don't let him lead the prayer. If you see him coming up again, it's like, brother, I'm going to go. Okay, please. But don't let him lead. If you know he doesn't know how to recite Fatiha correctly, don't let him lead. Yeah, sometimes you don't know, right? Yeah. Yeah, yes. Yes.
Same issue. When we found, Imam, he made a mistake about the Fatiha. The Fatiha is the hook of the Salat. Whenever I found he made a mistake, big mistakes, like how to read. So, what about this Salat? Salat al-Jama'ah, when he made a mistake about the Fatiha.
I mean, the thing is, if you still should correct the other person when they're making a mistake. There's a type of mistake. Sometimes they skip a verse of Surah al-Fatiha, then you have to correct them. You can't just let them go because Fatiha is a rukun. If it's another surah, and they maybe skip a verse, then let them go. You don't need to correct it. But Al-Fatiha, you have to correct. But if it's like a recitation, sometimes that's the way he recites. It doesn't matter how much he's, that's not the place to correct. If you can correct him 100 times, he's not going to learn just right there. Right? He's not just going to repeat it exactly the same way he memorized it. Right? And then in that case, maybe advise him afterwards to learn Al-Fatiha and teach him, or you know, have someone teach him. And so, but in the during the prayer, it's very difficult to teach someone to recite properly in the prayer, unless they make a clear mistake that they can correct themselves and know that they will be able to correct it. But otherwise, the correction and the pronunciation, for some people, it's difficult. Yeah, some people, they can't, and then they try, but they still can't. All their life, they try, and they still can't get it correct. All right. So
at that point, continue to pray by myself.
No, you pray with him. Just continue with prayer. Yeah. If he's leading the people, just pray with him. It's okay. Because he's not making a mistake that's unpurposely. You know, he's not doing it on purpose. He's trying. He's trying his best. That you should find someone else better that does it correctly. But if he's already leading the prayer, just continue with him. Inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala.